You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday edition. My guest, Nick Winkler, another Winky Wednesday. He will be joining me momentarily to talk about all the latest going on with the 49ers. Brand new shiny quarterback coming into town. And it's sounding like Nick Mullins is going to be out for a while. And we'll dip into the mailbag. I think there are some overflow questions from yesterday, some stuff I want to talk about, some folks that tag Nick specifically. So I didn't want to dip into those questions yesterday. I want to save Nick's questions for Nick on today's Winky Wednesday. This football season has been extremely different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock is where you can find me. At Bay Area Wink is where you can find my guest today on Twitter. Let's bring on Nick Winkler.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
You know what, Nick? I don't know if I actually have this power, but do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I kept calling Josh Allen, Josh Rosen?
I do remember that, yeah.
Well, the newest 49er is now Josh Rosen, and I would like to take full credit for this happening. The 49ers have signed Josh Rosen. This is breaking just within the last little bit before we started recording. They've signed Josh Rosen from the Tampa Bay Bucks practice squad, and he will back up C.J. Beathard Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals because the 49ers are out of quarterbacks. For those of you who are not in the know and haven't been paying attention, Nick Mullins, who ran off the field suddenly last weekend, he's got an elbow injury that could be very severe, could be Tommy John surgery severe, which would mean his 2021 season would then be in doubt and very unlikely for him to be able to play if he gets Tommy John surgery, because I know following baseball my entire life, that knocks you out for an entire calendar year. So that's unfortunate for Nick Mullins if that is the case, and he does need Tommy John surgery. I don't know if it's a quicker recovery for a football quarterback than it would be for a baseball pitcher. And Josh Johnson going on the COVID reserve list. So the 49ers were out of quarterbacks. They were talking about using Jerick McKinnon. They were talking about using Richie James, Kyle Juszczyk as emergency quarterbacks to back up C.J. Beathard Saturday. But looks like they have a legit real quarterback now coming to town, assuming he can pass protocols and everything in time to suit up and be C.J. Beathard's backup Saturday. Nick Winkler, your thoughts.
Well, I got to ask for everybody out there that listens to the podcast. Are you sure it's not Josh Allen?
I double checked. The Bills are still holding on to Josh Allen for now.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, hey, Josh Rosen, that's exciting. You know, you're talking about a young kid with the, sky's the limit kind of potential, right? I mean, he was a high draft pick, came in out of college. He had a great college career. And you want to see, we've mentioned him multiple times on this show, as a possible guy you go at in the offseason. And hey, maybe why didn't they go get him off the practice squad? Things like that. So this is good. This is cool. This is a smart move, I think, by them, because really what do you have to lose?
Right. And Josh Rosen must not be well thought of around the league. I don't know what kind of secrets there are out there about Josh Rosen. I think I think one of the narratives is that maybe he just doesn't love the game all that much and isn't a grinder. Maybe some of Tom Brady was able to rub off on him in Tampa. The 49ers decided to bring in Josh Johnson over Josh Rosen, right?
Originally, you're right.
The Josh Rosen thing would have made a lot of sense as soon as Jimmy Garoppolo went on IR. And talent-wise, he's more talented than either one of the backups the 49ers had right now. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe a reclamation project. Who knows? But he was on the heap and readily available for any team to pick up and put on their active roster for a reason. So we'll see what's going on with Josh Rosen. See, I almost did it again. I've got those two guys in my dome that I cannot say the correct name. But Josh Rosen's freshman year of college at UCLA is better than anything C.J. Beathard's ever done in his football career in college or in the pros. So there's some talent there. I wonder if Kyle Shanahan can maybe be the guy that wrings that talent out of Josh Rosen. Who knows? But for now, just a backup quarterback, and we'll see. Maybe he's got a couple weeks to show a little something.
Yeah, and then maybe you bring him back next year if he shows that kind of potential. I mean, obviously, the playbook is going to have a lot to do with it, right? Can you pick up that Shanahan scheme and really understand what he wants to do and make the reads? And, right. You know, Mullins was great at making the reads. He just wasn't that great at delivering, you know, with the final product. So maybe that is something Rosen can do. Maybe it's not. Again, it's one of you said it. He's been out there for everyone to be able to go get. No one did. So that says a lot as well. But yeah, maybe this is the right area for him. Maybe this is where it all clicks, and maybe it's not. But it's worth a shot for sure.
Do you remember an ugly game a couple of years ago, 2018, when it was C.J. Beathard versus Josh Rosen in this very same stadium in Arizona that this game will be played at when Rosen, just after Rosen was drafted by the Cardinals?
I do remember that. Yeah. That was a poop show, I believe, is the official way to describe that game.
That is an accurate way to describe that 2018 season after Jimmy Garoppolo went down. And that must have been right before Nick Mullins kind of took over and started showing a little bit.
Yeah, maybe this was his last, Beathard's last go at it.
Was it right before the Raiders game, maybe? I don't know. I can't remember. That's too long. I can't believe I remember that game even happened and existed, because I'm not good at remembering old games. I'm blown away by fans that remember details from games that happened years and years ago. That always blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, right? I love when someone's like, oh, yeah, that's the game where it was blocked. Like, they tell you the score, and they're like, I think so-and-so had this many yards.
Yeah,
like, wow.
Somebody fumbled at this exact moment in this quarter, yeah. And I was like, wow.
I'm impressed by that stuff, no doubt, because I don't have it.
No, not at all. I have none of that going on inside this dome. I have too much other stuff in there that, and not a lot of room, right? You know, so the stuff gets pushed out very quickly.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So Josh Rosen backing up C.J. Beathard Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals. Raheem Mostert is banged up, but C.J. Beathard might be throwing to George Kittle. And I thought Kyle Shanahan's comments Tuesday were extremely interesting, talking about George Kittle and the thought process there. And a lot of folks were thinking, you know, hey, maybe sit him down, right? And, mm-hmm. And Shanahan's response was basically like, look, I understand that, but I'm not going to sit somebody who's 100%. What message does that send to everybody else? And be like, hey, guys, y'all got to play. But George Kittle, even though he's 100%, he doesn't have to play. He's just going to sit down. Shanahan felt like he can't look at his team in the eye and do that. If Kittle can go, he's going to go. And so I'm guessing that's the way it's going to be this week.
I respect that. Yeah, you can't sit somebody down because you're scared that they might get hurt. You know, like you just can't do that. This is a football player. This is what you pay him to do. You want him to get out there. Yeah, you can't expect the other, you know, 50 plus guys to look you in the eye and be like, wait, can I sit out too? I'm sore. Like, can I get paid to not do anything too?
Right. You know what was interesting about it, though, the way Shanahan put that is like, you have to play. And I would assume that George Kittle's like, no, I get to play. Right.
Yeah. Not no,
like
George Kittle's wanted to play the next week after he got hurt.
Yeah. He doesn't care what the record is, which is what makes him great. And there's a lot of 49ers that are playing that way too. So
right.
I do have to, and I've talked about that numerous times on the show, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, the number one thing I would say about what they've done with this roster is there's no quit in this team. And Robert mm-hmm. Saleh too, on the defensive side of the ball, like, you know, they're put up against the eight ball, and they don't care. They don't quit. So I have to give much props to the 49ers roster construction for that aspect of the team for sure.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm done with Mullins. Like, you know, like we've seen what he's got here the last few weeks, and not that I'm excited that C.J. Beathard's getting in there, just that it's something different. You know, like I'm ready for something different. It's been a long season. You know, we were so excited early on. There was so much hope, and then it's like every time, it's like we're the punching bag this year. You just keep taking the blows one after another, and it's just like, oh, what else? What else? Well, now it's like, okay, at least it's something new. You know, we're not going to trot the same thing out there again. You know, the past 2 weeks have been just especially brutal, too, when you lose to the football team and then you lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was rough. Those two games were the ones that all year were like, okay, there's two W's for sure right there at the end of the season.
No doubt.
And that's
especially when
point.
you have a chance at a playoff spot.
Right. Yeah, no, and they did. And this would have been the point where it's like, okay, now you have to win out. You have to beat your division rivals and go win a playoff spot. And now the 49ers don't even have the opportunity to do that. But and I was kind of excited even to see Josh Johnson even more than C.J. Beathard, but now I kind of want to see Rosen in there. Like, I'm not wishing anything ill on C.J. Beathard, but, you know, like you said, just see something different. Like, we've seen all these other guys. Let's see a new guy in there. Like, I have no problems with that. I'm not, you know, the wins, losses will be what they will be. I don't think Beathard, and this is one of the things people talked about with, is Kyle Shanahan tanking, not sitting C.J. Beathard? It's like, no, he's the best option still. Like, that's right. That he knows his quarterbacks, and that's where the 49ers are. So it's unfortunate they couldn't have gotten a quarterback in a couple months ago that would be more ready to play, because I just don't think that even Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen can't get out there this week and play a Shanahan offense at a high level, right? He would have to be some weird pared down thing if he's forced into action, and who knows if he could even do that by the end of the year if they wanted to start him and see what he looked like out there and give him a shot. But
you could compare it to when Jimmy came on board, you know?
Really? Yeah, that's true. But he had let's see, how long did he have? Because it was
a couple weeks, right?
I think it was at least 2 weeks. Yeah, and then maybe,
and then
he
came in
week.
And you could tell it was a dumbed down, not a dumbed down, but a miniaturized version of the offense. But a lot of it was just like him extending plays and like, oh, you go that way. Yeah, I'll throw it over there.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It was very simple. It's like, okay, read 1, 2. No, don't like it. 3, I'm going to hit you. Or I'm going to buy a little time, roll out here. And that's one thing when I went back and watched some of Jimmy G from that 2017 season, he was moving around a lot better than he is now. So I think the ACL, aside from the high ankle sprain that he dealt with this year, I think the ACL did have a little bit of a hangover with him as far as using his lower half, both moving around with mobility and just driving into his throws. I think it has affected Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, I want to get to some of these mailbag questions, some other ideas surrounding the 49ers as we head toward week 16 next. My favorite part about Built Bars is how satisfying they are. Not only when you're looking for a sweet treat, something you feel good about grabbing and feel good about eating, so it's good to always have those around. So if that's what you are gravitating toward, you can knock that out and feel good about it. And it's the protein that sort of lasts. It stays with you. You feel like you've eaten something after you eat a Built Bar. So it's a double whammy. Get that protein, a guilt-free snack, so you're not knocking out a bag of chips or something that could completely trash your diet. 130 calories in the cookies and cream flavor, 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. It is fantastic. Other new flavors like caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp to go with their 12 original flavors. My favorite is peanut butter that I always talk about. Bars are covered in, this is the best part, 100% chocolate, not a brown colored flavored chocolate weird coating. It's legit chocolate. Health-conscious folks will like Built Bars, lose or maintain weight while indulging, and it's even great for a keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. That is promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear, the Niners not in it. There is only one place that has you covered, BetOnline.com. AG. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code locked on for your 50% welcome bonus. College football games heading into bowl season, and there are some big matchups in the NFL these last 2 weekends, and of course heading into the playoffs. Find the best betting lines and props at betonline.ag. Win yourself a little bit of money. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag. So we've talked a lot about quarterbacks. Let's keep it going for just a moment here. This was an interesting stat from Al Sacco, who covers the 49ers for the 49ers Web Zone. It's sort of striking when you see all of this in one place. In 62 games under Kyle Shanahan, 49ers quarterbacks have turned the ball over 81 times.
Oof.
31 for Jimmy G, 26 picks, 5 fumbles lost. Mullins, 26 total, 22 interceptions and 4 fumbles lost. Beathard, 19 total, 13 picks, 6 fumbles lost. And Hoyer, 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions and 1 fumble lost. And it's one of the things we had talked about a little bit on the show here. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is above getting critiqued a little bit, but it is interesting that all of Kyle Shanahan's quarterbacks, even going back to Hoyer, Mullins and Garoppolo, we've seen a lot of similar mistakes and similar turnovers. So at what point do you say, Kyle, what's going on here? Is there anything you can do to sort of calm down these turnovers from all of your quarterbacks? It's not just one, it's all of them.
Yeah, I feel like we see a lot of it, you know, like what we saw back on Sunday, where it's like quarterback staring down a guy who's doing a crossing pattern, the safety reads and goes over the middle,
right,
picks it off.
That lurking backside zone defender is the thing that's killed the 49ers multiple times, and it's gotten Garoppolo so many times.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, maybe that's just something that is the Achilles heel of Kyle's scheme or something. Like maybe you just need a quarterback that can read the field a little bit better.
Or coach him up to look off that first read a little bit more.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's very interesting, though, that we've just seen a lot of similarities between all of Kyle Shanahan's quarterbacks so far with the 49ers with those turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
How about this question? The New York Jets no longer have the number one pick in the NFL draft, and a lot can change still in the last 2 weeks. They could lose out, and maybe the Jaguars win a game, and they get that first pick back. But as it stands now, whoever gets the first pick is going to draft Trevor Lawrence no matter what. It would have been the Jets or the Jaguars or whoever. It's going to be one of those two teams. But the Jets have a little bit more of a conversation and a little bit more wiggle room with the second pick just because it's less of a slam dunk, even though I think there will be a quarterback that is worthy of going that high if they decide they want to go quarterback. But what if the Jets say, you know what, let's give Sam Darnold one more shot because it's not as much of a slam dunk here with the number two pick as it would have been with the number one pick in the draft. And they say, let's roll again with Sam Darnold and let's trade out of here. Would you give up what it would take to jump all the way up from where the Niners are going to pick, somewhere between, say, 8 and 12 or so, all the way up to pick number 2?
Okay, give me a refresher with the Jimmy Johnson trade chart. What's it going
to
cost?
So, let's go back to the Carson Wentz trade. So, the Eagles went up to pick 2 from pick 8 in 2016 to draft Carson Wentz number 2 overall. And it cost them their first rounder that year, number 8 overall. It cost them a third rounder that year, and it cost them a first rounder the next year and a fourth rounder the next year. So 2 firsts, a third, and a fourth, I believe it was what it was. Would you make that deal to go up from where the 49ers end up to, here's the exact one. I think I missed one pick. Oh yeah, and then there was a 2018, so 2 years later, second rounder. So it was number 8 overall in 2016, a 2016 third, a 2016 fourth, a 2017 first, and then a 2018 second rounder. And then they also got back a conditional fifth rounder, which is just weird, just a weird little throw in there. So, and that was all to move up to number 2 to draft Carson Wentz.
I say no. That's so much. Like you're talking about a team right now that is in a bit of trouble going into next year. Like they need help in the secondary, they need interior offensive line. You know, there's going to be a lot of needs for this football team. And I just don't think that you can give up that much it's an unproven commodity. It's something that the busts happen, you know, like, yeah, you know, remember a long time ago when it was like, oh, Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf. Oh, I don't know. And then, you know, number 2 didn't exactly get the right guy there. And with Wentz too. I mean, they traded up and they got one good year out of Carson Wentz. They've had some decent play other than that. But that's so much to give up for something that you just don't know if it's actually going to work out for you. So I would say no.
Yeah, it's really tough because the 49ers might have to move up just to make sure they get a quarterback, but going all the way to 2 is so pricey. It's going to cost an extra first probably, though, if they wanted to go up even to, like, say, pick 6 or whatever, you know, so it's going to be expensive no matter what. You just go all the way up to 2, make sure you get your guy if there's someone you like far and away better than the others.
Like 4 extra players.
It does. Right. Yeah. It helps the 49ers, though, that there is 4 and maybe even more than that legitimate first round type quarterbacks. So it's not just like there's 2 guys and then everybody else is like graded out as a scrub that you're not going to even think about drafting in the top 50. So that helps the 49ers that they could make a call. They're like, yeah, no, I don't like that. And wait a little bit and see if someone falls to where they are or maybe go up a couple spots instead. That's probably the way I would play it too. But I will say, no matter what the cost is, no matter if it costs you Nick Bosa or George Kittle, if you get a stud quarterback, it's worth it. So that's the other thing I would say is like, look, I know it can be expensive and it might not hit. You might not hit on that quarterback, but if you do, it is so worth it. And that's the gamble. Do you hit on it? Did you get the right guy? And if you did, then who cares?
And you know what you got already, though, in like a Bosa and a Kittle, though, you know? So that's what it's so risky trying to go up and get. Yeah, he was good in college.
Yeah.
You know, but can he do it in the NFL? Can his brain process it? You know, it's a huge risk. I'm not that big of a gambler, I guess. I'm more of a, yeah, let's go after, you know, get somebody later, you know, get somebody that's more in the scheme of things. And I love the Rosen pick. I love going after him and signing him for next to nothing from a practice squad and trying to see if you can squeeze something out of that. You know, maybe you go again. I'm still on board with going after like Ryan Fitzpatrick in the offseason. You know, like I feel like this team's so close. I feel like if they had a good quarterback this season to back up Jimmy G when he's not been in there, they would have won a lot more football games. So I don't think they're that far off. I think you get a healthy Nick Bosa back next year. I don't think you salvage the future in order to go after a guy that you just don't know what you're getting there with the college draft pick.
I would, if I was to make an offer and I was to call the Jets, I would offer, and it's, you're going to have to give up an extra first round pick next year. That's just the way it's going to be, which is, sure, I'd be okay with to go get your guy at quarterback. What if,
and that's not bad.
What if it was two firsts and Mike McGlinchey? If a team was willing to trade,
talking about like this year's first,
like, so the first this year to move up, then plus the next year's first rounder. And then Mike McGlinchey, if the team was willing to treat Mike McGlinchey as he was that second round pick, so you don't have to give up a second round pick, and then
you do that because you hope that next year is the pick number 32.
Right, it's a later pick, and it doesn't hurt you that much, and it's only one extra pick that way, and you're not giving up a bevy of picks, and you're giving up a player. And here's the thing about Mike McGlinchey, because there's been a ton of talk about Mike McGlinchey recently, and I don't think the 49ers would try to trade him, or they wouldn't shop him necessarily. I don't know if they would say no.
It's not worth anything right now.
I think he's worth a lot more than we expect, because every team has a terrible offensive line, it seems like, in the NFL, and good run blocking, and, you know, maybe even slightly below average pass blocking. Offensive tackles still have some value, and he was a shiny top 10 draft pick, right? But him being a shiny top 10 draft pick works against him for the 49ers. If they're being real and they're taking a little bit more of a long view when it comes to McGlinchey, and that's not even about his play this year or anything like that, are you going to be paying two offensive tackles $30-plus million a year in 2022 if you re-sign Trent Williams? So they have to be real about how much they're going to be paying offensive tackles. If you sign Trent Williams, a top 10 offensive tackle, his fifth-year option is going to be a lot, and they have to pick up his fifth-year option this offseason. And then in 2022, you got to sign him to a new deal, which could be a mega contract. So trading him now is where you would be able to get the most value before he hits those numbers on his contract and gets more expensive for a team that would be trading for him. And if that could land you your quarterback, then maybe you bounce Brunskill out to tackle and you sign someone like Alex Mack to play center. Are you that much worse off on the offensive line? You still get your quarterback, and then you can try to still draft some depth and draft some future starters at offensive tackle, but you have guys that you're comfortable with starting now. That's just one avenue I might take. And I think the 49ers have to be realistic about that approach because of the cost of McGlinchey and Williams together. The 49ers haven't really used long-term thought process when it comes to that kind of stuff. They've been really win now and short-term. Maybe the salary cap this year will make them think differently about that. And I really think that they love Mike McGlinchey, and a lot of fans have not liked what they saw from Mike McGlinchey as a pass protector this year. And I don't think the 49ers are worried about McGlinchey at all at right tackle, even though a lot of fans have seen a lot of highlights of him getting beat this year in the passing game.
Yeah, I like the way your brain thinks, Peacock. I just the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, yeah, no, that makes sense. I'd be willing to give that up, because again, I just don't like the bevy of picks. You know, I don't like giving up four. Yeah, it's a second and a fifth and a fourth and, you know, all this, but those are players. Those are guys that you know, you want on your football team for 3 to 5 years, maybe longer. You know, that are going to be good for your salary cap and things like that. And yeah, if you're giving up your first this year, so you're just moving up, what, eight, nine spots, whatever it may end up being, and then your next year, which you hope will essentially be a second-round pick, like, yeah, that I love that idea.
Then the question is, actually, hold on. I'll save the next part of the question for just a moment here, and we'll hit some of these questions on Twitter next on another Winky Wednesday Locked On 49ers. Okay, Nick, here's the other wrinkle in this whole thing. If you do draft a first-round quarterback, do you keep Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, you can't. That's too much money you owe that guy. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Jimmy Garoppolo again, and if we're not in uniform. Like, I think that he's due too much money. He can't stay healthy. I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I wish he was our quarterback and he was here for a long time, but you can't pay somebody that much money when they can't stay on the football field. You can't do it. And I've said it over and over again. Go get Fitzmagic, man. Bring him in. Come on. Draft a young guy. Bring in a veteran. Let him come in and run the football team for a year, half a year, whatever it may be. And you know, you still have a chance to win football games.
How about this, though, with Ryan Fitzpatrick? So, according to Pro Football Focus, worst turnover-worthy play rate. I think I talked about this on yesterday's show, but I'll bring it back to you real quick. Number one, Trubisky. Number two, Drew Lock. Number three, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Four is Carson Wentz. Five, Nick Mullins. So, one of the few quarterbacks that has had more turnover-worthy plays as far as a worthy turnover play rate this season, according to Pro Football Focus, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. You want to bring that guy in ahead of Nick Mullins, huh?
I do, yeah. He's just got a better arm.
He makes the bigger plays to go with it, too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm okay with a gunslinger. I'm okay with somebody taking shots down the field. You know, we lived with Alex Smith for a long time, and he never took that shot. You know, and then you get Kaepernick all of a sudden. It was just such a different change, right? It was just such a different world. You know, he could run. He was mobile. And Alex Smith could get around, too, a little bit. But he was just a check down Charlie, man. It was just dinks and dunks all day long. And then you get Kaepernick, who was airing it out, and it was like, you know. And now you get Mullins, who just, you know, I just don't think he can't make the throws. Like, he wants to make the throws. He reads it. He sees it. He just can't get it done. And you got a guy like Fitzmagic who can get it done. He's proven time and time again he can throw that deep ball. The 49ers got Ayuk. He can get down the field. You know, you got Richie James. He's got some speed. You got Debo, who can really open things up. You got Kittle. You give Ryan Fitzpatrick those kind of weapons. Look what he did in Tampa Bay when he had weapons. Like, he's a good quarterback. He doesn't have a whole lot of weapons in Miami.
Extremely streaky, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the 49ers
get a good run game with that guy?
They would have to have some sort of a veteran. I just can't see the 49ers going into April and having Ryan Fitzpatrick and like CJ Beathard and Mullins hurt and, you know, Josh Rosen. Like, could the 49ers really go into April in the draft? Because at that point, that's when you're almost like, man, we have to trade up because we have to get a quarterback here because that's the plan. You can't just sit around and just get whatever leftovers in the second round if that's
unless you really like what you see out of Rosen over the next few weeks and in whatever offseason programs
that would have to be a heck of a run. They would have to see a lot out of him to not draft a first round quarterback. I mean, that would be something.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me.
I can't see the 49ers getting worse at quarterback in week 1 2021.
So what do you think right now? What do you think is going to happen come April? What do you think the 49ers will have on their roster?
I think what the 49ers will do is much different than what I would do. Mm-hmm. I'd be trying hard to draft a first round quarterback. Like, I want one of those top 4 quarterbacks.
So, but what do you think the 49ers
I think the 49ers will bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, I think
you think will. So.
I think they, unless there's another avenue of a player who they think is better currently than Jimmy Garoppolo. So like a Matthew Stafford type of a deal. I could see that happening. The Niners aren't going to go into April with a quarterback who's worse than Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster.
Okay, all right.
That's what I believe. So, which leads me to believe it'll probably just end up being Garoppolo because they don't have to pay anything in picks to because they've already got him, right? They don't have to pay.
Can you re-sign Trent Williams and bring back Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean,
yeah, you can do that, but then you can't do a lot else.
Yeah, I mean, what else? How are you?
But that would be the best. So I've talked a lot about how quarterback's the most important thing, and you got to upgrade that. It's the most important thing. The best thing they can do at quarterback is probably keep Jimmy and draft a first round quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. But then that leaves you with no resources to do anything else anywhere else, and makes the rest of your team worse. So. The first round quarterback plus Jimmy Garoppolo is the best way to go about having the best quarterback currently and in the future, but it's also not the best way to build the rest of your team. The savings of getting a first round quarterback would be that you have the $20 million you lose from Garoppolo's salary and maybe even a pick if you end up trading him somewhere to address the rest of your roster. So it makes the rest of the roster better, and now you have a stopgap maybe that you pay a little bit of money to, like a Fitzpatrick or an Alex Smith, and you got a first round quarterback that is hopefully going to beat them out for a starting job.
Right.
It's tough. It's going to be an extremely interesting offseason for the 49ers.
I have a feeling we're going to talk about it just a little bit in the offseason.
Yeah, we will cover that on a lot of podcasts, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Several podcasts.
Oh, man.
I feel bad for Nick Mullins, though, man. He's like not going to be able to play next year if that's that Tommy John's happening.
Because, yeah, you've seen flashes, you know, of like, oh, maybe he is good. Wait, no, maybe he's not. You know, it's back and forth.
he came down to earth. We know he is. I don't think he was going to get any starting jobs. He would have been on somebody's roster, whether it's the 49ers or elsewhere. And,
right.
you know, if disaster strikes, he'll get into some games and play some games. But the way I envision the 49ers roster is they have Jimmy Garoppolo, who we still don't exactly know about, which is the most frustrating thing with him, which is why I would move on from Garoppolo, because it's been too long to not know and to not be able to trust who he's going to be. What's his peak? How good is he even? Is he going to be healthy? Just too many questions there for me to pay the salary. That's why I would move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, especially if someone's willing to give you, say, a third-round draft pick for him like the Patriots maybe. I think you would just have to do that with the salary cap ramifications of everything going into next year. But C.J. Beathard is a practice squad guy, I think. I don't think he deserves to even be a number three, and Mullins probably should be a number three. So you have at least two of three quarterbacks, and maybe all three quarterbacks that are one spot too high on the depth chart.
Yeah. I mean, you could be in a worse situation. I mean, look at what's going on right now in Philadelphia, right? I mean, what are they going to do with Carson Wentz? I mean, I know this is a 49er podcast, but
they're going to try like hell to trade him. And I've seen some 49ers
fans.
But
it's still going to be a huge hit against their cap, right?
Oh, it'll be the biggest one-time salary cap hit, I think, ever in the NFL if they trade him. But trading him is better for them than waiting. Like they have a window until the third day of the league year or something like that where they can trade him. And there's like this extra little signing bonus that will hit after that. And then they can't really do anything until 2022 with him.
Wow. Yeah.
But they've got a good young quarterback that's cheap.
He's fun to watch.
If they take their medicine now and they're way over the salary cap, the Eagles are in trouble salary cap wise. They're like $80 million over or something like that.
Oh, holy macaroni.
Yeah, of the projected cap. So we'll see what that cap ends up being, or if they decide to. And here's the other thing so the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, this could linger into 2022. They might borrow from future salary caps to try to even it out a little bit. And it would be a huge advantage for the 49ers to be paying a rookie contract for the next 4 years as the salary cap fixes itself. And so that's just an extra. It's not just for next year. It's going forward with some expensive contracts. The 49ers just re-upped Kittle, obviously. They want to pay Trent Williams, I'm sure. And they're going to have to pay Fred Warner. I talked about Mike McGlinchey as well, who's going to be due. And a top 10 offensive tackle is going to usually be very expensive. Even his fifth-year option is going to start to get really expensive. So the Garoppolo thing, essentially, there's enough doubt in Garoppolo, whether it's availability or how good he actually is. I'm not paying it. If I can trade him, I'll do that. And right. I want to draft the best quarterback I can, because that's the best the 49ers can be long term, is having the best rookie quarterback that they can get in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I hope they don't give up the farm, you know, to move up. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I would do it. I mean,
you do it. How much would you give up? Like, what's the most you'd be willing to give up?
It's better than having a bad quarterback. I'll put it that way.
That's true.
Like, I think about this. So I would trade, just go back along the list of first round picks. I would trade the last two first round picks, Kinlaw and Ayuk. I'd pay that for a franchise quarterback in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
sure. I like those players, but I mean, it's just, I just talked about it earlier. Nick Bosa, I would trade Bosa for, I mean, you know, the next Aaron Rodgers, right? You have to.
As long as, I mean, obviously, you know, you don't know what you're getting.
You don't know what you're getting, right? Yeah, you don't. You might not get the next Aaron Rodgers. You might get the next Josh Rosen.
Exactly. Don't worry, we got Josh Rosen. We don't need the next one.
That's true. We don't need the next one. We got one, so we're done. We're good. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, we wish it was a Josh Allen, but it's a Josh Rosen. It's fine.
All right. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see Josh Rosen revenge game and he'll be forced into action. And I don't know what kind of playbook he would be playing with against his former team. That would be an interesting wrinkle for Saturday. Could be maybe one of the most fun game scripts that could happen Saturday, because I don't know what to expect. We haven't even talked about the actual football game that's happening this weekend. Are you kind of over it because the 49ers are out of the playoffs, or are you expecting to see something from the Niners this week?
I mean, obviously, I never want the 49ers to lose. I can't pick them to win. Like, come on. Like, they don't look like a very good football team right now. It's unfortunate. They're just not healthy. It's been all the season long. You know, C.J. Beathard is our starting quarterback. Are we going to win a football game?
I'm actually surprised the line is only 5.
I'd never bet against my team, but that's tempting.
I mean, I would give up 5 points for the Cardinals to beat the Niners. I was going to say the Cardinals at home, but it's the 49ers home currently right now. It's not like they're going to travel anywhere. But 5, I thought it would be more than 5. I mean, the Cardinals are 8-6 and playing some good ball, and Kyler Murray healthy now. Against the 5-9 49ers that have before today started, they had one quarterback.
Right. And, you know, the 49ers still have a good defense. Let's not forget that. I mean, Dallas didn't, you know, they scored a lot of points, but a lot of it was like, oh, turnover. They have the ball at the 22.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe a spark. Maybe Beathard hits a big play or two because he does have a stronger arm than Nick Mullins, and maybe he's able to get the ball out of his hands quickly and they're able to run the ball a little bit and he's not sitting back there taking a bunch of sacks or fumbling the ball or anything like that, which is probably the worst part of his game is just how long he holds onto the ball, which is kind of a bad combination with a Kyle Shanahan offense. And, you know, if he doesn't turn the ball over, the 49ers have a chance. Play a little bit of defense. I don't see it. I would probably give up those 5 points. I'll talk a little bit more tomorrow on another Thursday crossover with Alex Clancy and Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. So did I just hear you correctly? You are predicting a 49ers win?
You did not.
Okay.
I knew I didn't hear that,
but I was just trying to goat you into saying it.
I cannot see a 49ers win with CJ Beathard at the helm.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it's something fun happens.
I just hope it's a good game. Yeah. You know, and it's been hard to watch lately.
There's still a lot to take away from the rest of the 49ers season. Maybe we'll get a little George Kittle out there, some catch and run stuff, some two of the three Yak Bros in action with Brandon Ayuk. So that could be fun, and maybe getting the ball down the field a little bit. Why not? Chuck it.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
I want them to win. Don't get me wrong.
All right, good stuff. We didn't get to any questions. I think we covered a lot of the questions I had just in a roundabout way, but not specifically. So I do appreciate everybody who's sending in questions every week. Merry Christmas, everybody. Nick, Merry Christmas to the Winkler family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to the Peacocks and everybody out there. And we really appreciate you guys and hope you guys stay safe and have a good holiday.
Absolutely. And I'll be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.
Nick Mullins!
CJ Beathard
happens ever.